SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Australia is in the midst of one of the toughest cost of living crises seen in decades. A new report released by Anglicare Australia shows that JobSeeker and other working age payments are too low to cover basic living costs and not in line with inflation. Joining me now is the Executive Director of Anglicare Australia, Casey Chambers. Now, this new report paints a pretty dire picture. What are the key findings?
Well, what we've seen, and we all know, we've all been involved in those conversations about inflation and the cost of living. But one of the things when we look more carefully is that not all goods have gone up at the same rate. So the Consumer Price Index, or the CPI, it's kind of a bit of an average of some luxury goods and some essential goods. But what we can see is that essential goods have gone up by far greater than discretionary goods. So things like food and rent and petrol, they have really rocketed during this time, as most of us know. Whereas actually some of the discretionary items have not gone up so much, or over time have actually become a bit cheaper. And there's things like white goods, clothing, even foreign travel and holidays. So what we can see then is that those households that have less to live on naturally spend a greater proportion of their income on those essentials. For many of the people that Anglicare Australia works with, they're not buying white goods. They're not buying an overseas holiday or travel. Their entire budget is going on rent and food and some of those transport costs. So they are much more disproportionately affected. The other thing for households who are on very low incomes is, there's less they can do about it. They've basically got less fat. So for most households, when thing costs go up, they might substitute an item. They might buy, less premium mince over steak. The households we work with made that substitution years ago. They're living on savings plans. But they also have less savings, or are likely to have less savings, so they've got less to draw on. So when these kind of things go up, they really affect people on low incomes. What that leads to seeing is households who spend much greater proportion of their budget on essential goods. Essential goods have gone up more, and many of those households are on the working age payments, which have not gone up in line with the cost of living. And we can see, we know that there's been no real increase in JobSeeker since 1997, no permanent real increase, to the extent where when it was doubled in amount during the temporarily during the pandemic, it just got people's heads above the poverty line. So it took a doubling of it to catch up to the poverty line. So we're really saying, these benefits are decreasing in their value. And this just isn't right for a country like Australia. But it's not economically right either, because it's very hard to look for work if what you're doing is day-to-day survival. So it's about time, really. We've got a federal budget in a month, and that's what we're calling on the government to do.
As an organisation that works with Australians in need of help and people who are on lower income, how are your member agencies seeing this play out on a daily basis?
Look, a really good measure of this is the services that we call emergency relief. That's services that, offer some assistance when your budget just won't meet your needs. What we're seeing in those services, and we run them in every state and territory, we're seeing more people coming. So just more, more people through the door. Those people are different too. We used to see people mainly on government benefits. We're seeing people who are waged. We're even seeing families with two incomes who still can't make ends meet. The other difference we're seeing is where we used to be able to spread the money we have for those services a bit more widely. You know, we can offer assistance sometimes with things like utility bills. We often are able to source some food from food bank or donations. What we're seeing now is that people, you know, need assistance to pay the rent. And when the average rent in Sydney, for example, is $864 a week, that money doesn't then go very far. So we're seeing more people, we're seeing different people, and we're seeing the amount that they need to keep their heads above water really increased.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something. And to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Many people are being hit really hard by the cost of living crisis, but particularly, as you mentioned, those on lower income. This report mentions the unequal impacts of inflation. Can you talk me through that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So you know, inflation's not created equally. And that's really, it's a little bit, I guess, sort of bureaucratic in a way. But we measure in Australia inflation by the Consumer Price Index, and that covers a variety of goods, including some that are quite, you know, discretionary, like, white goods and computers and travel. But it also includes those essential food, petrol, and housing, and utilities, water, gas, electricity. However, what we can see is that proportionately, rent and food and petrol and utilities have gone up far, far more than many of those discretionary items. So for starters, if you are, you know, if a greater proportion of your budget is being spent on essentials, you're feeling it more. But it's a real double whammy because those are the very items that mainly drove inflation. You know, the Reserve Bank has told us that over the last 18 months, those are the items that most drove inflation. So we can see that really, if you're in a household with less money, you're going to be much more affected. That 7.8% of the headline inflation is going to be made up much, much more of the things that you're buying more of. And because you're spending more of your budget on essentials, you're not seeing the benefit of the decreasing costs around things like white goods and travel. So inflation really doesn't hit us all equally. It really does. You know, that the poorest households do bear the brunt. And it does mean that those on the lowest incomes, so specifically those working age payments, but, you know, this also seeps into minimum wage earners as well. But for those working age payments, they no longer buy anything like what they would have bought when they were first set. They really have fallen a long way backwards in real terms. And it's way beyond time that we mended that.
Many people are really doing it tough, and these numbers are pretty difficult to ignore. What needs to change?
Well, we really, first of all, let me say, we applauded the government's changes to the tax cuts. I think that was a piece of pure economic genius to take what was a very unfair set of tax cuts, as was previously proposed, and to actually ensure that pretty much every single Australian worker will get some relief from that. It's much more evenly spread. It's much more spread towards people on lower and middle incomes who are earning wages. So that's fantastic. And that acknowledges that cost of living is going up and that, you know, that the government do want to give some relief there. It does, however, leave out those people who are currently relying on working age payments, so job seeker. It leaves them out of getting any relief, which, as we can see, they're already the households that are doing the worst in inflation. So what we're saying is it's time to increase job seeker. That's you know, supported by the Australian community. One poll showed 72% of the community thought that it was too low. Anglicare Australia's own polling over the years shows that most people don't understand how low it is. And if I can just mention that currently for a single person, it's $381 a week. So very low. Once people know that, most Australians actually, you know, think that that should be higher. And there's even an economic case to be made for that. You know, the Business Council of Australia has said that it is too low to enable people to look for work, because when you're living on that kind of income, you're really, the people we work with are spending a lot of time being incredibly resourceful, searching for the best food bargains, you know, catching free buses to get to something because it's cheaper than a more direct train, you know, and then making even more horrible decisions about not fulfilling a prescription that they need for their health or something like that because there's, you know, there's not enough money to go around. So it's time for us to make sure that we increase job seeker. We've given cost of living relief for every working Australian. So we can see that the government knows about this and is interested in fairness. So it's time to do this with job seeker. And once we've increased it, we really then need to make sure it's indexed correctly. One of the reasons it's been able to slip behind, so far behind in real terms, is that it's been indexed to this CPI, which we can see, and which the Australian Bureau of Statistics, which publishes the CPI, actually states very clearly is not a measure of cost of living. So we want to see it indexed to something that is more realistic, like wages, which indeed the age pension is, which has kept up much better with the cost of living. So we need to put it up, and then we need to make make sure that it keeps up. And then we can stop having this discussion and start having discussions about, you know, what is keeping people out of work and how we make more jobs in our economy once we've actually made sure that we've got a foundation of a fair working age payment for people.
That was the Executive Director of Anglicare Australia, Casey Chambers.